You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Good afternoon. This is our Athena Protection Services podcast this afternoon, October the 26th, on a sunny, great day here in Michigan. No, I'm just kidding. It's raining. Cats and dogs. So today we've got a guest in the studio with us. But before we introduce our guest, I want to introduce myself. I'm Carl Coley with Athena Protection, as well as I'm going to turn the mic over to my main man, the one and only.
I'm Dan McKinley. Yeah, Dan McKinley here with Athena Protection Service.
And Dan, you got a guest you brought in today, so you want to introduce her and give her a chance to talk?
I do have a guest, and we have Angela with us today, former principal from Mumford High School. Welcome. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming out. So, Dan, what you want to talk about today?
Today we want to talk about school safety. So, starting with school safety, we want to talk about active shooters in the school. You know, recently we heard Dave Chappelle talking about training and the shooter being in the school. So we wanted to get your thoughts on active shooting, school safety, and things along those lines.
Man, that's a good topic. This ought to be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that, you know, school safety is paramount to every principal. You know, parents bring their school students there and you want to make sure that you protect them. And it starts from the moment you walk in the front door. Of course, as schools, we have drills to prepare for lockdowns and in the schools and outside of the school. But I don't think you're ever really prepared for that to happen.
I don't think you are, exactly.
So do they have active shooter specific training in the high school?
They haven't had it yet. I know that there are other districts across the country who are having that active shooter, you know, training, but in Detroit, we didn't have it.
Okay. Is that because of the less likeliness of?
I don't know. I don't know if they just never got around to it or not. I think no one's exempt from the possibility.
Okay.
You know, so I don't think they just got around to doing it yet.
Okay. Have you ever been in any active shooter training?
No.
Okay.
And I don't know that it's something that I really want to be a part of. I don't know that I do.
Okay.
I think that, you know, life happens, but it's just like, I don't know if I want to be a part of that.
Okay. That's fair.
That's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
To get that perspective, because, you know, obviously in our business, and we'll talk a little bit about that before we get too far off. Dan, if you could, and the reason I keep bouncing it to Dan, because he speaks so elegant. Yes, that radio voice that everybody
he does
loves.
Have that radio voice.
But Dan, let's talk a little bit about Athena Protection and what we're trying to accomplish as a company. And then most definitely, I like where we're going with this topic this afternoon.
So as a company, we do security. Mm-hmm. So, you know, our focus is always on making sure that people are safe and that they are prepared should something take place if they're in a situation where they need to defend themselves. So we teach concealed pistol license classes. Mm. We do armed, unarmed guard security. We teach active shooter training. And, you know, we do private investigations. We do a host of things, but primarily, you know, we are security minded. We focus on security and always making sure that people are safe.
I think training in helping people know how to be safe is always well. It's something that's needed. You know, for example, so many of our schools are just open up. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no buzzing in to get in the school. You can just walk into a school.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
In some schools.
It's scary.
It's scary. And, you know, for me, I think everybody needs to be buzzed to come into a school.
Right.
In some schools, you can just walk into openly and you're just right there at the front desk.
Okay.
You know, so.
I mean, with the way sex trafficking and again, active shooter, just the dangers, that's interesting.
That all kinds of violence. That they would have more access control in place.
Well, they have, many schools have is like one entry, one exit.
Right.
But even in that exit, if you're just not monitoring who's coming through that door, anybody can get through the door. And, you know, of course, they say you can't get past this area, mm-hmm. you know. But the point is that person at the front door, what about the safety of that person too?
Right. Do y'all have guards in the school?
Yes, unarmed guards.
Unarmed guards.
Yes.
Okay. Has this ever been addressed through the school or through the administration that we should have somebody there with something in case?
They have police officers.
Okay.
There's an armed police officer. I'll talk about my experience in DPS.
Okay.
So we had, DPS has the police department schools, mm-hmm. and so there was an armed police officer
okay.
in the school.
Okay.
And then you had unarmed security officers as well.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, we had to come up with a plan if there was a major emergency at the school. It wasn't armed training, but, you know, if there was something major at the school and we had to transport the school students out of the schools, where would it be the safe place to go? Which way would we go? We had to, you know, have that plan mapped out.
Okay.
But we never really ran the plan. You know, you just had the plan mapped out of what you needed to do.
Okay.
Wow. In case it happened.
Yeah, they got to run the plan to make sure that.
We do fire drills. Yeah. We do, you know, the lockdown drill. That's in case someone's in the building, what do you do? How do you lock the doors? How do you go to a part of the room where nobody can see you in the room? You like, if you have windows, you have to pull the shades over the windows. We do code blue drills, like people, there's a danger outside of the building, but not in the building, maybe a shooting in the neighborhood.
Okay.
You still want to stop traffic in the school. Okay. Everybody stay in where they need to be. We do fire drills and stuff like that.
So what make you not want the training? That's what I'm interested in. Where you want to steer clear of being in that scenario altogether.
I just want to make sure that, I mean, even if I went through the training, when it actually happens, do you really remember it in the midst of all of it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, as long as I have a system in place that will keep kids safe. Right. So, like, we have the drills in place that will, like, if an active shooter is in the building, that's like our lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get the kids in a safe place where nobody can see them in the room. I think about, you know, what happened in Parkland. Mm-hmm. I used to work in Coral Springs, so that was really close to home to me. And it's like those drills, they went straight to a code red lockdown drill. Get kids in the classroom, away from the doors, back in the area where no one can see them.
Right.
I mean, the only part is that it's like, how do you remove them from the school?
Right.
In that situation, you know. That's the only part that was missing. So other than that, you're like, we know how to get kids safe within the building.
So is it like a communication issue where do they need like a communication system in place where all staff can be able to talk to each other and how they maneuvering throughout the school?
I think that with administrators, they usually have the radios with them. But in that case, I think you'd go radio silence and you have to go cell phones because people would be able to hear the radios, hear the communication that's happening.
Cool.
There's a code that, you know, you press a button on and it makes a sound. You don't have to go on and like a shooter in the building. You just make a sound and they know that to go to that particular thing. But, you know, you'd have to communicate via cell phones with your staff to make sure that everybody's safe and where they are.
And is it mandatory for everybody to have everybody else's number? Or are you just really talking to your friends in the building?
No, for me, with my administrators, it was mandatory. We sat down and was like, what's your phone number? Everybody locking in.
All right.
And for the teachers, we used apps like GroupMe and WhatsApp so that they could communicate with us all day long. So, like, even if they had, you know, difficulty with students in their classrooms, they could just text us and say, you know, the student needs to be removed from our classroom. So that was like communication that could be happening between all the staff at all the time.
Okay. I'm glad you said that because I kind of want to segue into something I saw recently. The 11-year-old girl being detained by the officer at the school. She was trying to walk out of the school. What are your feelings on officers detaining kids in school and the level of force that they use?
I'm kind of mixed on that because we've had some major fights in schools that I've been in and where, you know, they some of them need to be detained in order to control the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But our guards were not able to have handcuffs.
Okay.
Or mace or anything like that. They were simply guards. And they had a big problem with that because they felt like how are we going to help secure when we don't even have the tools to help secure anything? Okay. And I think that in some situations, handcuffs are necessary to, mm-hmm. you know, just get the situation under control. Mm-hmm. And like with anything, it's overused. Sometimes yeah. it's overused in a negative way.
Yeah.
But I think if it's for the safety of the child itself or the safety of others, and you need to detain and mm-hmm. handcuff someone, then you do what you got to do.
Right.
So I've seen, and a lot of discussion around has been back and forth about teachers and administrators in the school actually carrying firearms themselves. Obviously, I kind of could guess what your opinion would be, but what would be your concern with that?
I don't like guns, and we're human. I think that before we are a teacher, before we are a principal, before we're anything, and we all have emotions, and I just don't like the idea of someone getting into it, because these kids will make you go there sometimes, getting to that point, and, you know, like, I was fear for my life, so I pulled my gun.
I could see that mm-hmm. being there.
You know, like, oh, he tried me, so I pulled my gun and let him know. It's like, nah, I don't think that's what schools are for.
Yeah. I create a high level of liability.
Yeah.
And a threat for people who are easily scared, or, you know, they feel like, you know, fear is perception.
Right.
So what may scare you may not scare somebody else. You know what I'm saying? So.
And some of our kids is like, they ain't scared. They're not scared of a gun.
So, and
it's like, they're like, do it. Shoot me.
Yeah.
You know, they'll be trying someone like that. And, you know, when you got kids that are, you know, 6'5", 300 pounds up in your face, trying you, and you know, you got that on your persons, I think it just creates opportunities for situations that really don't need to be there.
I can agree with that.
You know, and it's good that you point that scenario out, because I was really picturing it more so 40s active shooter type of situations, not because, you know, mm-hmm. little Billy don't want to do his homework. And I should say little Billy, because we are talking about a principal of a high school, but just talking about, you know, the overall safety for the school. You know, how do we get that to the next level? Because as we've seen throughout the country, it's not working. In multiple situations where active shooters are in schools, seem like every other day you're on the campus of a college or something.
I think it's about just being aware. Just like the guy the other day mm-hmm. who unarmed the young man in the school. Right. It's just everybody having – you're on high alert every day in a school. Mm-hmm. And so I think that if everybody had that high alert and just not thinking – that, oh, we're safe. We never know what kids are going through, what they have to do to get to school. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's also like the debate of whether we have scanners at the front door, you know, whether we're perpetuating the prison, the pipeline, you know, mentality mm-hmm. by kids. But I can't tell you the number of things that we've taken off kids at the front door.
Mm-hmm. So you say scanner, you're talking about like the actual, like when you go into a courthouse.
When you go into the airport, yeah.
To go through a checkpoint.
Yeah.
Okay.
And most schools have that. Most mm-hmm. of the middle and high schools have that.
Right.
That the kids have to go in. And we've collected some stuff that have prevented that they were going to plan to use in fights and different stuff like that. But, you know, that otherwise would have gone undetected.
Okay. I guess my next question would be, how do we know that the kids – or dealing with a lot. I couldn't imagine being a teenager right now with social media and how fast something, you know, we had the rumor mill and the gossip mill growing up.
Social media is the devil.
But now social media is instant, you know.
Yes.
You want to shade somebody mm-hmm. or get information out, it's instant to however many people you follow or mm-hmm. even mm-hmm. like us going live here on Athena Protection on our webpage. We're live right now on Facebook. But I guess my concern, or not concern even, but with the kids having so many social media issues and the bullying and whatnot, now we have these kids who feel they need to retaliate in some type of way. And I just keep thinking to the unfortunate situation that happened at Fitzgerald at the beginning of the school year, last year in 2018, unfortunate situation. And as a school, how to, you know, this girl – without getting into a bunch of details, was able to literally stab another student right in the school.
Mm-hmm.
And you say they have the security in place. How does something like that end up happening?
I mean, I think we're human. I mean, the people who are searching the bags are human. Mm-hmm. If, you know, they build relationships with kids, it's like I used to tell my staff all the time, you can love them, but you still have to do your job. If it says mm-hmm. to search the bag, I don't care how well you know them, you search the bag. Because
yeah, these were two honor roll students, so right. they don't fit the typical.
Exactly.
Bag
oh,
kid.
No, they don't do it, so we don't need to check mm-hmm. your bag. You go ahead and go on. Right. You don't know what's happened on social media last night. You don't know what's mm-hmm. happened the day before. You don't know a threat that's been, and they felt they needed to protect themselves. And then that person has gone through. And then the question is, well, didn't you check the bag this morning? Well, no, I didn't feel like I needed to check her bag. Then you didn't do your job, because your job is to check every bag that goes through this building to ensure that's part of the safety. And I think that the safety piece is that everybody has to do their job.
Right.
Regardless of who it is and how it makes you feel about it. If that's the role that you have to do, then you have to do that. Right.
So my question, and I'm old school. I remember mm-hmm. they used to be able to tell you, down to, you know, we couldn't wear hats in the lunchroom and all of that. And maybe I sound crazy, but would it be banning the cell phone usage in the school? Is that something that's ever considered? And if so, what has been the pushback on it? Because I know right now most of society feels like they can't live without that device.
I know that's an ongoing debate in schools, not just here in the city, but across the country. Mm-hmm. I've been into some schools. I visit schools all over the country, and I was in some schools in New York, a high school where they took cell phones when they walked in the door.
Wow.
And they gave them back at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
I was at an elementary school just the other day, and in the morning, the teachers collect the cell phones and give them back to them at the end of the day. It, you know, there are policies on cell phones. If you don't mm-hmm. see them, we don't take them.
Right.
But it again goes back to the implementation and the enforcement of rules. If right. everybody's going to do it, then it'll work. But if one teacher decides that, you know what, I really don't care if they use a cell phone, so they can use the cell phone in my room,
mm-hmm.
then when I go into another room, then they're fighting this battle of, mm-hmm. well, she let me do it and you don't let me do it. But I think social media is the devil. It is causes more harm than good. I think like 50%, maybe even higher, of the problems that we used to deal with stem from social media, mm-hmm. things that was on the weekend.
50%, I'd say.
Really, I would say higher.
Let's say high 80s, maybe. Yeah.
Stuff that happened over social media that started on Instagram and Snapchat and, mm-hmm. and different stuff that spilled over back into the school that really has nothing to do with the education of educating kids on a right. day-to-day basis, but we're stuck with it and we end up having to deal with it. And don't let a fight happen in the middle of the day. Your whole parking lot can be filled with people from other schools of where they want to carry it on after school. So part of that safety piece is having an outline plan of what needs to happen in situations
mm-hmm.
and having people really, you know, carry out that plan with fidelity.
Right.
And a lot of times that doesn't happen.
Okay. So they need to upgrade your planning process for particular emergencies?
No, I think the plans are really, really good.
Okay.
So there's a plan for fire drill. There's a plan for code blue. There's a plan for code red when there's an emergency. There's a plan of how kids enter the building.
Right.
There's a plan for cell phones. There's everybody on the same page.
Okay.
Implementing
so it's an accountability
plan.
Thing. More
it's
than
an accountability it's
a,
thing.
A policy thing.
Right. So the policies are there.
Right.
It is the people, the adults in the school being on the same page and saying that I agree with this or whether I don't agree with it, I'm going to enforce it because that's our policy here at the school.
Yeah.
You know, so if we say no cell phones in class, I shouldn't walk in the classroom and see 5 cell phones. In the back, I used to say, oh, y'all not using my electricity, and I would just take them all.
Yeah.
Because that's not what this is for.
Oh, talking about charging them up.
Charging the phones. It's like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
We said no cell phones. If we see them, we take them. So I see them, I have to take them.
I saw people fighting in the airport over two plugs one time.
Over chargers, you know. So I think if we could take cell phones at the door and give them back to them at the end of the day, but then you have parents says, I need to get in touch with my child. Sometimes the school don't answer their phones, you know, all different things. But again, that goes back to implementing the policies and procedures put in place.
Yeah,
if we do that with fidelity, then everything would fall into place.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I would argue that if you need to get in touch with your kid in case of emergency, what did you do before we had a cell phone? And I know I sound like a old grumpy old man here. Stay off of my grass. We've got to try to do something. Because not only that, just the level of bullying and what's happening with these kids and their self-esteem and things of that nature. And I know we're talking about active shooters, but we also trying to open up and discuss how these kids end up getting to a point where they feel like they need to come and do what they do.
So, right.
I think that the social media aspect of it, even though taking the phones at the school would cut down on what's being communicated about, but like you said, they're having discussions about where they're going to fight. And I seen a very disturbing situation on the news here the other day. This gentleman was at the bus stop and got attacked by some high school students. And don't know the details of what it was in regards to, because if I'm not mistaken, the gentleman was like 23 and these were a bunch of 16 to 17-year-olds. Mm-hmm. But just looking at the video and the reaction that people have to violence in particular, or really anything, is immediately there. I just remember seeing a young lady that as soon as that guy ran over here and hit that guy, she had a cell phone out and was recording.
Yeah, nobody's helping. They're just like, let me see if I can record it to put it out there. And in some cases, you know, with all of the stuff that's happening with law enforcement, the cell phones have been, you know, video recordings have been helpful in some, but when do we stop and say, somebody speak up and say, like, that's not how we need to do that. And that's not how we need to handle that. And, you know, so, I don't know.
So because we know that, and you lead me into my next question, you just driving down the road right where I need you to go. I don't even have to give you any directions. But I guess my next question would be is, have there been any talks or plan around that being part of the curriculum? You know, how to deal with, you know, because these cell phones, social media is not going anywhere. Has there been any talks or thoughts on how do we incorporate social media into the school system to maybe help these kids better understand the social media? Because we all say the same thing. Oh, this social media is the end of the world. And I think of, and please remember my question, but I just think of a funny story when my son was playing AAU basketball as a 9-year-old, they lost multiple games because they would go to the free throw line and they couldn't make a free throw to save their life. And the coach would yell out, y'all got to make your free throws. And the kids say, okay, coach. And then they'd go over there and they'll miss five more free throws in a row. And as a teacher, it's like telling the kid, you got to get an A on this test. But if you don't teach the kid the steps they need, the study process, and things to help them prepare for it, they'll never do it, just like those kids never made those free throws. Right. They lost a lot of games because the coach didn't take time to teach them how to shoot them. So back to my original question. Sorry for going so long. Have there ever been any consideration or thoughts around adding in dealing with social media and things of that nature into the curriculum? Because we need it at some point, in my personal opinion.
You mean all of us, for the staff or for the kids?
Just in general, it is, you know, because we send the kids here, we want them to be safe, and we all can agree that a big percentage of what is the concern and issue is coming from these social media sites or the access the kids have and the way they utilize them. To talk about it and you know, maybe it's at middle school level, it might be elementary these days, I see.
Well, I think they're in schools, they have social-emotional learning curriculums that they're implementing. But I think that it's like I used to tell parents when we do orientation, it starts with them. You buy them the phone. You need to monitor what they have on their phones. You know, kids have just free reign on their phones and parents don't know what their kids are doing. So and so many companies have like put so many limits. ways that you can limit what mm-hmm. your kids, how many right. how many hours of FaceTime they could have, how many what apps they could do on mm-hmm. the phone. So before you give them that phone, you need to have ways that you're monitoring what's happening on that phone. And like my mom's like, you can close the door, but it's still my house. That's still my phone because I paid a bill on it. So, yes, absolutely. I can look at your phone. I can monitor what's on your phone. I can see your Snapchat. I can see this. And then we need that help in school mm-hmm. from the parent, because we can't say you can't have Facebook on your phone or Snapchat on your phone. That goes back to the parent at home right. in order to do that. So, you know, we as educators can say, you know, teach them about how to use social media effectively. How positive we try to, you know, even bring it into education using Twitter, looking at, you know, being mm-hmm. positive things around right. that. But that is their social outlet. Right. And so those controls, we need parents' help in controlling those controls as well.
So I just had a brainstorm here because I watched that commercial where that kid's trying to sneak in the teenage daughter's bedroom after hours and mm-hmm. Won't give that particular company credit because they don't pay us.
But, oh.
So I know companies are coming up with ways where they can actually shut down certain aspects
yeah.
of it. Is that something? What's your opinion on that in the schools? Say, for example, just having it where it blocks the use of anything other than making a phone call on a device, because again, that's the only concern right. that the parents seem to keep bringing up is mm-hmm. I need to be able to get in touch with my kid. They'll need to be able to send them a DM on Snapchat, maybe.
You know, as much as we try to put those firewalls up in school, these mm-hmm. kids are more savvy with technology than we ever were. I mean, they've grown up
so that's something that's
in a technological
at.
Age. And so, yeah, there are firewalls in school, so you can't do that through the school's computers. You can't get it. That's all Fox. But when right. you have a phone that has a system, you know.
Like a hotspot or something where they can get on their own internet service without using yep. the Wi-Fi to the school.
Yep. Yeah. Then you have no controls over it.
Yeah.
Unless your school just don't let, you know, can't get a cell phone signal, you know. Then you really have little controls over it.
Hmm.
Maybe that's the solution. Taking the signal out of the school altogether, but, you know, the small percentage of the people out there that can.
And then you have the adults who have their mm-hmm. cell phones.
Right.
And so and then what
to
happens to them?
Media.
Right. But all they need to be able to do is make an emergency call as well.
Yeah.
I mean, think about how many jobs where, you know, you can't be on your phone, period.
Right.
You know, for safety reasons or for whatever reason. But just something to try to, I guess, my question back to the original question, which you kind of answered, has it been considered looking into, you know, those type of things? Because I just feel like so much of what we originally talking about, these active shooters, come from a lot of things that they see and
yeah,
hear.
Yeah, I think
on social
if we could
media.
Just take cell phones at the door,
mm-hmm.
you know. For me, if I could have done that, that would have helped tremendously.
Where did you get most of your pushback from? Was it the parents or was it the school district not supporting it?
All the above. You know, the parents, mm-hmm. the students, the teachers, because it takes manpower to yeah. do that. And, you know, you have to have systems to run and you only have limited personnel. And then, you know, the liability of having all those cell phones. Mm-hmm. If somebody leaves in the middle of the day, who gets that kid's cell phone at
right.
that time? And, you know, so
what
it's
if
a
it
whole.
Comes up missing.
Exactly.
$1,000.
Yeah. Right. Then you have the liability of replacing that cell phone because mm-hmm. you picked it up at mm-hmm. the day. So you'd have to have a tight system and people who, like, really believed in it.
So we got a mobile epidemic right now, and unfortunately, we don't have a solution in sight. That's scary.
I wish I had a solution. I don't have a solution.
Not that I'm trying
it.
To put that on you personally, obviously, but just.
So what does the anti-bullying curriculum look like in the school these days? Do they have programs in place or mandatory training or anything like
they
that?
They do have some programs in place now. Mm-hmm. When I was principal, I worked with Kevin Mann and Encourage Me, I'm Young.
Okay.
And we always did Respect Day.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, and kids took a pledge to respect you, respect me, respect we.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just to encourage each other instead of put each other down. Mm-hmm. And so that was something that we did, and we did a major pep rally around it. And then we also have positive behavior intervention systems that we put in school mm-hmm. to encourage, you know, positive behavior instead of, you know, the negative behavior that's right. coming in school. And I know that DPSCD has a big mm-hmm. Anti-bullying campaign as well.
Okay. Now, with most active shooters, they always talk about mental health. They always try to throw mental oh, yeah. health at it. So what resources does the school system have for kids that have mental health issues? Is that strictly a parent problem, or is that something that you guys have in place where you can know how to deal with students that have particular mental health issues?
Right.
Or right. Is there some kind of system to where, like, you know, where they know how to deal with it, or is it something that where kids are allowed to cope if they having some kind of mental health breakdown?
Right. Like I said before, some of the schools have put in social emotional learning in schools mm-hmm. just to talk about, you know, emotional issues that they have or traumas that they have endured. Most schools have social workers mm-hmm. in them. I know before I left the district, they had ensured that there was a social worker at every school. At my last school, we also had Henry Ford Health Systems
okay.
that had a psychologist at the school and social workers at the school, but it's not enough.
Is it utilized properly or utilized enough?
It's overutilized. It's not
okay.
enough.
Okay.
It's not all enough. Right. I mean, when you're in a school and you're having, you know, the majority of your school coming from trauma-based situations mm-hmm. that they're facing at home or in right. their neighborhood, and you have a school of 1,200 kids, one social worker can't handle it.
Right. Oh, they only got one?
Most schools only have one social worker.
Okay, yeah, that's
right.
That's
and so, problem. You know, while that social worker yeah. is running and doing everything they can, it's mm-hmm. not enough.
Okay.
You know, of course, there's resources in the community that mm-hmm. we always refer, you know, parents to
right.
to help out for counseling and different things, but it's not nearly enough resources for, especially our inner city schools,
okay.
with the trauma that our kids have gone through and the help that they need.
Okay.
But I think, again, it goes to we have to make sure that we train our teachers mm-hmm. to look for signs and symptoms.
Right.
You know, if you see a kid who's highly depressed all the time, mm-hmm. a loner to themselves or whatever, somebody should be reaching out to that child
right.
to that's say something point. And not yeah. wait until after the fact. Oh, I noticed that he was always by himself.
That's what
and
I
nobody
always see
ever
every
said
time.
Anything to him.
Yeah.
And that's why I say, we always have to be on high alert.
Mm-hmm. We knew he was crazy.
To yeah. about our kids. If you knew he was yeah. crazy, why didn't you say something?
Right.
Why didn't we try to get him some help? Why didn't we try to do that? Mm-hmm. And so the eyes and ears are the teachers in the school, the staff in
that's
the school, the lunchroom, the custodians, everybody, as well as the students. You know, I always say, if you see something, say something. It's not snitching. It's being responsible.
Oh,
and
yeah.
that's what we need to be, is responsible for each other
yeah,
in these settings.
I can't stand mm-hmm. the way that see something, say something that's portrayed as snitching.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Tekashi 6ix9ine, he's snitching.
Yeah.
But, you know, pointing out that this kid might be depressed and
right.
we need to, you know, try to get some help, that's not snitching.
Mm-hmm. Or you see his YouTube videos and he got guns, you might want to say something.
That's a great point you bring yeah. up there.
Right. I mean, we've lost two kids. I lost two kids in my time at the school to gun mm-hmm. violence. One playing around with guns, mm-hmm. you know, like they see in the movies,
right.
and accidentally shot himself.
Oh, no.
And then the other, we all missed it.
Because
yeah. he smiled, he was active and everything,
mm-hmm.
but depressed and ended up killing himself.
Oh. To the trained eye, they can see past that smile. That's why I think it's important that not, you know, the teachers and they have the proper mental health staff on place.
Right.
You can smile and be happy and want to kill yourself inside.
Exactly.
And somebody that's in that field can see through that. They can see through that.
Well, we have social workers. Yeah. We don't have psychologists yeah. and all that at the school.
Yeah, we can't even get tissue in all of the schools.
Yeah,
I know we ain't getting ready to get that.
It's needed. And I think in all schools, inner city, suburban, you know, everywhere.
Yeah.
It's definitely needed.
And because of what we're dealing with, back to the social media aspect mm-hmm. of it and how, you know, you can you can be on there and you can see and you compare yourself and all of these things. So most definitely need to be part of, you know, possible, one of the possible solutions moving forward is to have that
right
actual trained professional mm-hmm. in the building. They might even help save a teacher.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. that's a very stressful job.
Yeah.
For what they do and what responsibility we put on them. We talk about the safety of the kids, and we send, you know, a lot of times the schools overpopulated and all of those things, which we don't have time to get into that today. But
right.
Most definitely, just kind of summarize what we've talked about mm-hmm. today as we get ready to wrap up. A lot of the concern is we got to figure out a way, sound like from what you're telling me. We got to get better communication with the parents, which is always going to be a struggle because there are so many things.
When it comes to social media.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the safety piece, it's just making sure that everybody's on high alert. I cannot mm-hmm. stress that enough, is right. that everybody's looking for signs and don't yeah. get comfortable.
Yeah.
And assume that, you know, because I'm in this school, my kids wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. You just never know.
Right.
Right.
And you asked a question earlier. I just want to point on. You say when you get training, will I remember? We have self-preservation built into our system. So if you get into a situation and you've been trained, you're automatically going to go back to that moment where you were in that situation in training mm-hmm. and you will pull that information. You won't be thinking about it because you're reacting. It's not something that you're going to try to go back and think about. It's just going to be a reaction.
Right.
Prime example. The situation. We all drove here today in vehicles and cars.
Right.
But if we got outside and had to flee and it was a couple of bikes out there, bicycles, not motorcycles, I'm sure that all of us could get on them and paddle away. Maybe not as fast as when we were a kid.
Yeah.
And that's the point that Dan's making is those things will, the mind is a great thing and where it will remember those, you know. And mm-hmm. and in some of our next podcasts, we're going to talk about back into the home with the safety and the awareness of the firearm and how those things happen. You touched briefly on it, unfortunately, losing a student through, sounds like, unsafe handling of a firearm.
Right.
And we really need to address that. But it sounds like to me the biggest thing mm-hmm. we can do is really start having the conversations around that social media in the schools. I'm not trying to say that it's the school's responsibility because I feel like too many times we say the schools need to figure it out. Yes, it's got to be the parents and mm-hmm. every aspect, anything right. when it comes to your child. But my concern is just to even start having the conversations and trying to incorporate maybe, you know, getting those trained professionals in the school. That's a starting point, I feel like, where we right. can start.
I think more training for teachers around that, mm-hmm. You know, trauma-informed care mm-hmm. and recognizing signs and different things like that would, you know, definitely be helpful.
Because we know, if nothing else, you know, to give some shout out and kudos to the teachers and the people that work
Absolutely.
In the
school system. We know that
they love,
right.
they love what they do.
And they love. They have to love the kids and what they do to do
that's
it.
It's not a job.
Absolutely. Yeah. No school can run without those teachers. They're the most right. important people in that building.
Right.
Not even as the principal. You can't run that school by yourself. If you don't right. have teachers who are dedicated to do it, you're lost.
So anybody
they are the most important
anybody
people.
Anybody out there listening today, we not here bashing teachers and trying to put extra stuff. We actually feel and understand the importance of giving them the tools they need to be successful, which in turn is going to make our young people successful mm-hmm. And not have them feeling like they just went to an institution, as
right.
so many like to say, the prison, right. and just spent their time there and got released every day at 2:45 to
exactly.
just go back to what they're doing. But we really want to say thank you for coming out today. Some great insights on the topic. It's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's yeah. so many things that we tend to want to point fingers. Mm-hmm. But as a community, we got to do a better job. And I just feel
I just hate it's come to a point where we have to train kids to, you know, I know, you know, we train them for, you know, for violence and things happen. But mm-hmm. how to get out of a school if a shooter comes in the school that we're expecting that to
happen.
They
sell bulletproof backpacks now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But that shooter is a classmate. That's one of the other issues. He's already in the building
a lot of times.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, looking for the signs.
Right. So
I think that's key right there. So again,
thank you guys. This was awesome.
You know, we're a little new at this, so we apologize to any podcast professionals out there.
Or enthusiasts.
we will get better as time goes on.
Right.
I think we talk about some current topics, some very important topics. We're talking about safety of kids and helping the teachers in the schools to have a better chance to focus on training our kids.
Yes.
Because these are the ones that are going to lead the world here soon.
Right.
Absolutely. Sooner than later.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And, we want them to be prepared and always safe. So that's what, so that's where we always coming from.
So active shooters, we can talk about this for another hour. We don't have it today.
Right. So
anything you want to talk about before we finish up here, Dan?
Oh, no, I'm good. I'm just, you know.
Do you guys do school security?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we can always do that. But like I said, like I'm asking you all these questions, if we going into a particular situation, we're going to ask a lot of questions, do an assessment, and make recommendations for the best scenario that we could possibly give to make everybody in that building safe.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And hey, you can reach us on our Facebook page at Dan.
Athena Protection Service. Or the website, AthenaProtectionServices.com.
Awesome. Well, thanks everyone for listening out there in podcast world, and we'll be back soon.
All right.